we're just going to move, that's a little bit that way, that's it. Just for a moment, I pray that we can just try and put ourselves at that table that night, 2,000 years ago, along with the disciples. This is Passover. Way, what a party we're going to have. But it's not going to be the usual. Seems it. This is that moment in the world's history when God becomes man in human form to do for us the unthinkable. Passover. Joyous, happy, when Jews and Gentiles, I mean, there's always somebody that's nosy, isn't there? If you're not invited to a party, you'd like to know where it is, who's going, and why am I not? This little book of Mark, it's very important of sacrament. We consider John Mark. I didn't realise, you know, you forget that he was really called John Mark, but there's such a lot of Johns hanging about at that time. So maybe they just thought, we'll call him Mark. Not a disciple, but wonderful as it is, Mark's gospel was the first to be written. He was like most young men, and if you get hold of the Bible this afternoon to Mark, you feel like he's a young, you know, Lewis Hamilton, because he goes through it like mad. And it's chum, 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 chum. There's no exposition of anything. He's just quickly going through like a race. But he doesn't miss anything. The gospel's purpose was to present the person of Jesus, who he is, his work, his purpose. And Mark presents Jesus Christ as an action, a refreshing action, revealing his true, you know, all that he is. Christ in action. You know, everything that Jesus did is in that little book. He's not really interested in a lot of it, what the others. I mean, look at Matthew. He's got more gospels than half of the New Testament. He was marvelous, but he was a Jew and he wanted everything put down in chronological order so that no one would despise his work. And he was a clever man. Mark's just a youngster. And they believe that he got a lot of what he's written from Peter. Well, we know Peter, don't we? He's another action one. He puts his foot in everything he opens his mouth for. But I do like Peter. Reminds me of me. He wasn't bothered about making mistakes. And the wonderful thing was, Jesus forgave him. His true identity, if you like, of what Jesus was all about. Who is this man, John Mark? Well, we've said he wrote the gospel. His mother was called Mary, another Mary. And nothing said about her husband or any siblings. All that we can get from Mark is that his cousin was Barnabas. Now we know Barnabas because Barnabas was the encourager. And if any of us here this morning need to be encouraged, then just think about Barnabas. They lived in tougher times than what we're going through. but he encouraged not only his family, but the Christian community. And we know that when Judas Iscariot committed suicide, they wanted to make the number up, and it was Barnabas that was chosen. And he would be there with Paul and Peter and that wonderful missionary work that they did. He provided a family's home. I mean, can you imagine? I've said it before, you know. I said this morning to Margaret, it isn't like just saying, Jean, would you like to come and have tea this afternoon? Oh, thank you, that's very nice. And then Jesus goes and is invited to go for something when there's 12 guys behind him that want feeding as well. It's a different kettle of fish, isn't it? But Mark was busy. It must have been his mother's home that he opened up, and his mother wasn't bothered about it either. She was one that said, let him come. Never shut the door on people that you know are belonging to the Lord. You know, like us, Mark made mistakes. He made faults in the early years. And we know that when he was traveling on this missionary journey, he only went two stops, if you like. They only went two bus stops. And then he thought, this is not for me. And he scarfed back to Jerusalem. And I wonder if we would have done that. Who knows? I don't blame him. I don't blame him for that. He was a young man. He let Paul down, we know that, on one of these missionary journeys. And Mark was hauled off and he went back to Jerusalem. This decision, well, we know that Paul did not accept very graciously. And Paul wouldn't take him for a long time. He took Silas instead, a companion. Whereas, and this is interesting, Cousin Barnabas took Mark on and was his teacher. And he showed a lot of patience with him. Now, that's one word that I ain't got. And I remember Jeff many years ago, I've never forgot, in our church at Ashton. And he was giving this sermon and he just clocked on patience. And he says, patience, Lord, give it me now, if you understand what I mean. He had no patience to even, at that, while he was telling us about that. But we all have trouble with patience. And it's something that we all have to work on. But he did become a very valuable helper for Paul. And we learn from John Mark, don't we, that we do make mistakes. But they, if you like, they are as important sometimes as what can be learned from them. If you make a mistake, if you don't put any sugar in a cake, you know you've made a mistake because it'll taste yucky. That's just a small mistake. But we all make mistakes in one way or another. And in the second of Timothy are these words. Mark is reinstated with Paul. And Paul writes, bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be very helpful to me in my ministry. And we know he was. But back to Mark's account, at that Passover meal. Everything had been planned. I still marvel at this man with a water pot on his head trailing through Jerusalem, because men didn't do that job. It was the women that did that, go to the well for water. But why should we question what the Lord did on that night? And I like when he says, go in with the fellow when he goes to the house where he is, and say, and I like Andrew just say, the teacher says that we need that room and we want it prepared. And it was. This was going to be the most wonderful evening, wasn't it? After all, it was Passover, a festival they had been part of all their lives. The disciples had been there with their mums and dads and grannies and granddads, and the story had been told every Passover of the escape from Egypt. And that's what they were expecting. They knew how it went. They were old enough to know every word. They knew every stage of the meal. But they didn't. Some new thing were added to that festival that night. What we now call communion. And it was an invitation which would be given to all who love God and know his beloved Son as their Saviour. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the one who would wash all our sins away. It's amazing, I believe. It's amazing how far God would go to such as me and you and the human race. And all the sins that we commit daily. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, don't we? And the devil rejoices in it. He really does. And it would take our Lord paying the price on Calvary to wash our sins away. Impossible for our small minds to take in, I think. I think I'm right in that. But that was the price that was paid so that we could stand in glory before God. And it wasn't just for that. This is the amazing thing. It wasn't just for we who love him. No. It was also he died for them that wouldn't give tuppence about the thing. And that really gets to me. I don't know about you. He died for all them out there who have never opened the Bible, who've never been able to read a word out of God's scripture. If you said, what do you think about Jesus? They'd say, who? But he died for them. If you see the film Gospel Road that Johnny Cash made with his wife many, many years ago, I think I've still got one of them, what they called, them little things you can shove in a... No, it's just a little thing that big. A what? It doesn't matter, does it? No. It's a little tiny thing that, with all the film on. And I enjoy every bit of that. But at the end, there was something that really shook me, because they had Christ on the cross. And then some music played, and then you saw Christ on the cross. But it wasn't 2,000 years ago. He wasn't outside Jerusalem on Calvary. He heard the sound of an aeroplane. And the cameras panned. And this cross was on a hill at the top of, could have been Chicago, it could have been New York. And that really took on for me. He died for them and 2,000 years ago. But back to the Passover. Mark sets the scene. And the first thing Jesus says is a real shocker. One of you eating with me will betray me. This is an unbelievable statement from Christ. Everything must have stopped. Think about it. If somebody, you'd thrown a big dinner party and somebody said, one of you has pinched me on a handbag. I mean, things would just stop, wouldn't they? But this is, who could betray the master? An unbelievable, really is. And I wonder if the universe, if you think about it, I wonder if the universe had heard that about its creator and waited. One of the things that was brought to light for me anyway, we all betray our Lord in one way or another. Even at this table, we forget. We're centered on Judas. We forget that Peter denied him. Thomas didn't believe in the resurrection. And Matthew says Judas's reply was, surely not I, Lord, two-faced person. And what did Jesus say? He said, he who dips the bread with me in the bowl. Many, many years ago, I like Wales a lot, and we used to go a lot. And some of you have heard this before, but it just reminded me of that. The Chinese restaurant in the center there, good food, good Chinese food. And the family always seemed to come and have their meal while we were there. And there was she looked ancient, a very old lady. And they had one of these tables that you could move around, you know, with the food on. But the daughter, or whoever it was, she would always pick out the choicest meat out of the dish to give to her mother. She was fed first. And that touched me. And this little old lady, I bet she might not have been 50, but she looked about 90. And she was so old, you know, looking. And I thought, every time I read, he who dips his bread with me in the bowl, it's in the dish in one of them. This action brought the disciples to go off in another of the scriptures. You see, that piece of bread was given to people that were a bit well liked. That had to be served first. And they thought, well, let's face it, he looks after the money. Maybe we're going to have something else on the table. Maybe that's where he'll be going. But you know, Judas misunderstood, didn't he, everything? He really did misunderstand. And he placed himself. It isn't God doing this to Judas. He placed himself in the hands of the devil. Because all he thought about was money. He didn't think it would end up like it did. And that's why he died. You see, it's all to do with choices. We all make choices in life, and those choices can make a difference, for good or bad. Jesus knew that Judas, he was evil. Life with evil intent, and it's not going to change. I mean, he'd stolen money from the bank that should have looked after all of them. And the reply of Jesus is, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, would later betray him. I can't imagine the atmosphere after that. Is it I? Is it him? Is it you? What about him? We'd all do it. And it was a time of thankfulness that Almighty God had rescued Israel. And then in the middle of all this, one of you will betray me. Is it I, Lord? Communion. You know, when you think I can't see very much. Things were very different at the Lord's Supper. A supper to commemorate the Passover meal, and then Jesus extends it. We call it communion. Some call it the Eucharist. That means thanksgiving. Communion. This is a time when we can commune with God and with each other as a believer. And this communion should not be thought of as an appendage, as something that should be rushed through. It's a time of quiet reflection as we recall what the Lord's death has done for every person that's ever lived. So, friends, shall we take communion together? Gatshima. It means wine press, and how Jesus suffered there. We know why he went. And the last thing I want us to think about, what did they sing? Well, they sung from the Psalms. And I've just got a few verses here of one of the Psalms before we sing our last hymn. And it's part of the Psalm of 118. And this is what it says. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. And then these words, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. And it finishes, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I hope you will, because this last hymn, I'm going to stand up because I can't sit and sing this. And it's, thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son.